today to the meeting to hear the reports and give your input, and we do value you and your faithfulness, and we're glad that you're a part of this meeting, because really the church is made up, the church is its members. That's the church. So you are the church. Before we officially call the meeting to order, let's all bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church and this community. We thank you, Lord, for things that have happened here and the decisions that have been made and the commitments that have been made and the work that has gone forth from here, even all over the world. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having this church, this local church, and being a part of your greater church, the worldwide church of God. And Lord, today we recognize that it is the church of the members, but Lord, it's also your church. You are the head of this body. And we ask, Lord, that everything that is said and done would be honoring and glorifying to you as you continue to build your church. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this meeting is officially called to order. And I will ask Rex Maughan if he would come, please, and read the minutes from last year's meeting.
Okay, the 2001 Calvary Assembly of God annual business meeting was called to order on April 1st, 2001 at 1:30 by Pastor Manon. He reminded us that this is our church and our input was needed. 33 members had signed the roster, but only 31 remained for the meeting. The meeting was open with prayer. The 2000 minutes were read by yours truly. Thank you. And approved. Pastor then made his report. This was his 10th anniversary with the church. He thanked the people of the church again for the parsonage. He shared Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, and also stated that he believed that great things are going to happen here. He welcomed the new members and stated his goal to reach new people. Pastor thanked Pastor Craig, the department heads, and the board members for their work. We then prayed the prayer of Jabez. Pastor Craig started his report by thanking everyone for their support with the spaghetti dinner. He appreciates all that God has done for him and his family. He also appreciates the Manons. Pastor Craig cherishes the prayers and thanks the church for the support and for being able to rent vans. He then highlighted the major youth events from the previous year and his plans for the current year. There was a donation for the youth of $3,000, but the donor would like to see it matched. Clarice gave the financial report. Pastor explained the Arnold Thompson Estate Money Market account. The report was accepted. Del Lathe gave the Sunday School report. She thanked the teachers. The average attendance last year was 60, and this year is in the 80s. Sharon Stauffer gave the Missionettes report. She was thankful for the growth of the girls. She shared the plans for the current year. She also asked for prayer for sponsors and rooms. Tim Bongard gave the Royal Rangers report and also read Don Stauffer's report. They need more help, was their plea. Debbie Manon gave the Women's Ministries report. She highlighted all of the activities from the previous year and encouraged all the ladies to attend the meetings. There was no men's ministries report. Okay, did everybody get that? Okay. I know, we have to work on that, men. Oh, I'm sorry. Old business was then discussed. Pastor said that the district did not send us the form for the fast-track missions, so we are still waiting. We were still waiting. There are a few more missionaries that we support than are on the board. Also, often when the missionaries visit, we increase our pledges to them. Pastor asked for some direction for expansion. We are averaging 96 people per Sunday. A motion was made and approved to create a committee to look at ideas for expansion. The committee was to report back to the church body at the Sunday School picnic on the first Sunday in July. Before the election of the new board member, a motion was made and approved for an elimination vote if needed. Don Stauffer was elected. A thank you was made to Bob Shackleton for his years of service. Robert Shackleton voiced a concern about kids running in the sanctuary and playing with instruments. Glenn Melsine asked for interest in a pro-life float in parades. Pastor Craig closed in prayer. Meeting was closed at 3:12. Respectfully submitted by me. Thank you.
You and Nora have to sign this.
Do we have a motion to accept the minutes as read? George, is there a second? Jill, all in favor say aye. I'll oppose, same sign. Okay, and they are carried. We will come back to the old business from the minutes later on. But at this time, we're just going to continue to go through the reports. And my report is first. I got a little wordy this year, and it actually ran more than one page. I tried to keep it to a page. When I went to the Make It Fit feature in my word processing program, it was too small to read, so I kept it on two pages. Debbie and I have considered it a privilege to serve another year with you at Calvary Assembly of God. Last year was a big year for us, for the church, and us personally. God has continued to bless the church, and as Doris Lynch says, I let him. I say, how you doing, Doris? She says, God blesses, and I let him. We had many new people start attending. Our average Sunday morning attendance last year was 102. That's the first time, I believe, the church has ever been over 100. So we praise the Lord for that, accomplishing that goal. Some of the new people are going to need strong people to lead them, since they have not come from strong Christian backgrounds. And I know that there are a few that have not been baptized in water, and last year we did not have a water baptismal service. This year we will. And as my message goes back, if you were here a couple weeks ago, to help the strong, or to help the weak become strong, I would really want to encourage you all in that regard. To do that. Jesus said to Peter, after you are converted, strengthen the brethren. He's really saying, Peter, you're weak. After you've been made strong, you strengthen the brethren. And that should be all of our goal. Our goal, however, is not to grow a church. That is the Lord's job. It's Jesus who said, I will build my church. And we need to keep that in mind. Over and over lately, I've been hearing that it's the responsibility of pastors or whatever to grow a church. I don't see that as my responsibility. I see my responsibility to be faithful to the Lord, and the Lord will add to the church daily such as should be saved. Our job is to strengthen the weak, and those truths were impressed upon me this last year. And some of the sermons that I have in mind and things that I will be doing have those goals in mind. God has blessed the church financially. The report will be coming, and you will see that. And I just want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Don't stop, but thank you for your faithfulness in giving. It will not go unrewarded. And then on a personal level, our ministry was 10 years last year. It was our 10th meeting. We completed 10 years on our 11th year, and Debbie and I celebrated our 20th anniversary last year. So it was a great year for us. Included in this report is a devotional of what a church is. Sometimes I do a devotional separate. Sometimes I include it in the report. Church is, first of all, a building. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. So although, yes, we do have a building, believers, members of the body of Christ also make up a spiritual building. And Christ is the builder. This was referring to earlier in Matthew 16:18. He's, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, it was not talking about Peter, it was talking about himself. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Christ is not only the builder, he is the cornerstone in that building. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So as we build the church, we have to remember that Jesus is the builder of it, really. We are laborers together with him, and everything has to be built around him. He is the cornerstone. He's the foundation. And then the church is a living body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Christ is the head." Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." And Colossians 2:19, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bonds have, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." And what I see in that particular thing is the parts of the body need to work together for it to be effective. Over and over again, we read in the book of Acts how the church was in one accord and great things were accomplished because the church was in one accord. It was unified. The church is also a flock. Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And if we picture the church as a flock and each of us being sheep, Christ is the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." The church is also a bride. So how important is the church? It's all these things. Scripture goes into great detail to describe what we are like. So it's important. "A bride," Revelation 21:9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." So the bride is the Lamb's wife. And then the church is a casket of jewels. Malachi 3:17, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." And lastly, the church is a temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" So we are a temple, and inside this temple, there's one who ministers. He ministers as the high priest, that is Christ. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, and yet without sin." And so with these thoughts in mind, let us serve the Lord together. This is the right way to greatness. It seems paradoxical. It seems to be the wrong way to greatness, but Jesus said the way to true greatness is by serving. It's by serving one another. So let's serve one another and experience true greatness. Not that we want to be great for ourselves, but we want to make him greater. And that is my goal, and that is my report. Do I have a motion to accept my report? Okay, Bev. Don seconds it. Everybody agree? Say aye. Opposed? Same sign. Okay, do you have any questions of me, my report, or anything about my ministry here? Okay, we'll turn it over to Pastor Craig for his report.
First of all, I just want to thank everybody for the dinner downstairs, those that provided for the food. And we just wanted to say thank you to you for all that your support that you do throughout the year for the youth. I'm going to just kind of read the report here and then answer any questions that you might have. God truly has blessed us with another wonderful year. We thank him for his many blessings and for keeping us in his care. I'm very thankful for a wonderful pastor and his family. It is an honor to work together with such a wise man as we further God's kingdom with the strength of the Holy Spirit. Some of the junior high students that I started with are now graduated. Time surely flies faster than I ever thought it would. I know my dad always said when you get older, it goes faster, and he was definitely right in that. I put some of them to work, and I want to thank each one of them that have been willing to serve. It's nice to see someone that you've been teaching for 6 years step up and say, how can I help? What can I do to make a difference? Special thanks to Kelly and my wife, who are always there for me, and George and Gail, who have stepped up to be a wonderful asset to this ministry. I appreciate all the vans you have rented excuse me, for us this past year. That was one thing that was made my life very stressful a few years ago, not having means of transportation, and you guys all stepped up and said, well, let's rent them vans, and I want you to know that we do appreciate that. We haven't forgot about that generosity. Thanks to all the parents that have brought their teens out to the events. I know that sometimes it's strange times and stuff like that, and I appreciate that. Most importantly, thank you for all your prayers. They are vital to this ministry. It definitely is not us that change lives, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit through your prayers and your encouragement to myself and my family. The Youth Ministries Department participated in some major events this past year. In July, 16 of us went to Montego Bay, Jamaica, to work in the Robin's Nest Orphanage. It was a life-changing experience for all of us. I encourage anyone that has not gone on a missions trip to go sometime. It will change your life. Besides going on a missions trip, the youth gave an additional $2,600 to Speed the Light to purchase vehicles and sound equipment for Assembly of God missionaries. We attended youth convention in La Crosse and Catalyst and with Josh McDowell in Madison. We did numerous other events, including fun activities like a canoe trip, Six Flags theme park, and lock-ins. This year we are planning some more events. Some major events include a missions trip in July to Los Angeles, California to do inner city ministry out of Tommy Barnett's Dream Center. We're currently watching the Creation Science series and desire to do another discipleship class this fall. We will be attending Catalyst, True Love Waits Rally, Camp, Youth Convention. Some outings planned for this year include lock-ins, canoe trips, Six Flags, paintball, roller skating, as well as others. Want everyone to remember that adults are always welcome and encouraged to attend any of the youth events. Just because it says youth on it does not mean that you are excluded. I encourage you, if you want to come to anything, that you just come. The youth would be happy to see you there. They love the fact that you guys are supportive of them. And some of you are kids at heart anyways. So we do appreciate that. One other thing. Can I just ask a question? How many people in here have never been on a missions trip? Never been on a missions trip? I just encourage you to go on a missions trip sometime. Whether it's overseas or whether it's in the States, you can ask George, you can ask any one of the youth, you can ask myself. It was life-changing for me. I've gone to Bible college, I've done ministry, but there's something about going to another country and seeing people starving to death, seeing people without homes, that will change the way you look at life and the way you look at eternity. Is there any questions?
Thank you, Craig. We have a motion to accept the youth pastor's report. George, second. Kyle. All in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign. And it's approved. This time we'll have Clara Shackleton come to give the financial report. Appreciate the work Clara does. She's always willing to run for me, too, if I have her.
Well, we started out with $17,047.96. The CD transfer into the checking account was $70,000. Interest income, $5,341.02. The Thompson Estate, $1,100. Telcom dividend, $180.10. Church Mutual Dividend, $18. Money Market Transfer, $18,652.92. Pastor's utility reimbursement, $1,090.33. Total non-giving income, $96,382.37. The tithes and offerings were $104,646.33. Missions, $2,800. Special speakers, $1,488.66. Designated youth and mission trips, $21,130. Designated youth not dispersed, $2,866.53. Designated benevolence, $1,060.86. Honorariums, $537.76. Camp scholarships, $397.36. In the Gideons, $170 cash and $75 was written in a check. Missions Bibles, $538.20. So the total giving income was $135,540.70. That's big figures. Total income and balance forward, $248,971.03. The 2001 expense and distribution, Pastor Mannon's wages were $24,700. Social Security, $1,820. Utility allowance, $1,004.27. Pastor Craig, $7,410. Pastoral conferences, $550. Honorariums, $837.76. Benevolence, $1,660.86. Missions, $7,818.20. Utilities, $4,289.66. Gideon, $75. Special speakers, $1,513.74. Camp scholarships, $495. Bible college scholarships, $2,500. Designated giving, $5,705. Advertising, $169.50. Bank charges, $87.25. Dues, $143. Flowers, $142.57. Insurance, $1,160. Attorney and surveying fees, $2,944.62. Renewal fees, $90. Maintenance and replacements, $2,758.50. Supplies, $961.17. Youth expense, missions trips, $21,130. Youth expense, van rental, $393. Board appreciation, $217.11. Transfer to AG Financial Services, $140,000. 2001 total expense and distributions, $230,576.21, leaving a checking account balance of $18,394.82. Christian education balance at 2000 was $1,045.76. Income, $2,066.56. Expenses, $2,391.88. The ending balance, $710.44. The Assemblies of God Financial Service Fund, $140,000. Assemblies of God Financial Service Fund interest so far is $1,055.60. The total cash net worth, $160,160.86. Cash net worth December 31st of 2000 was $107,246.64. The net increase in cash net worth 2001 was $52,914.22. Any questions?
Questions. Could you explain what the Assemblies of God Financial Service Fund is?
Yep.
Okay, what we did was we had money in the CDs, and we had monies in the money market. And we saw that the AG Financial Fund would actually give us a better rate than we were getting. Okay, in case anybody else, given us a better rate than what we were getting at any CD or money market. And the money that we give to the AG Foundation or loan to them, they use to build churches. So we felt that our money was being better put to use building churches than it was collecting money for a bank. And so that's why we decided to put it there. Right now we're getting 6.25% with them. 6%? Dropped it to 6%, which is still much better than any place else. And they build churches. We like that idea. And it's not locked in. We can get it anytime we want. Right. So, thank you, Clarice. Any other questions?
The surveying and the attorney, I thought somebody might want to know about that. We had a property dispute out here on this back line. It weren't really a dispute. It just was a clarification. And we had to have a recertified a survey. And then also the property was sold. We had to have surveyed. And then the attorney fees, and to do it all together, that was a total of the two expenses. I don't know if there's anything else in there that anybody have any questions about.
This. If you do, please ask.
Yeah, because we'd be glad to answer.
Yeah. And if you wanted more detail, the account would be glad to give you. I have the check register up here today. One thing that I wanted to mention, the money for the Arnold Thompson estate has now ended. We have collected all that we will collect for that. Okay, the lady, if you weren't here for that, Arnold Thompson remembered us in his will and left us some cash and also left us the deed to a property that he was selling to somebody else for $100 a month. And that person continued to pay the church that $100 a month until it was paid off. And it's now paid off. Okay. Any other questions?
Well, maybe we should mention, too, that $70,000 that was transferred into the checking account did not come in as cash. That was money the church already had.
Right.
It just was transferred back into the checking account.
And then out to AG Financial Services.
So that's just skewed a little bit, like we brought in about $90,000 more than we actually did. But it was just transferred into the checking account and then back out of the checking account.
Right. Right. You know that my first year here 10 years ago, the total income was $26,000. It's amazing. And I just marvel and rejoice at what God has accomplished through you. 3 years ago, we were able to build the parsonage debt-free, and to still be able to have money left over is just a miracle. So do we have a motion to accept the financial report? Okay, Josh. Bev seconds it. All in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign, and it's accepted. Okay, we will move over into Christian education reports. Della, you want to come and talk about Sunday school?
I don't believe I need to say income and expense. That was included in what Clara said. I don't need to say anything about the income and expense because that was already mentioned by Clarice. The Missionettes and Royal Rangers are included in the account with the Sunday School under the heading of Christian Ed Department. They maintain their own income and expense and balances as well. Children's Church expense, evangels, and offering envelopes are included in the Sunday School expenses. I don't know if everyone knows that Sunday School doesn't just pay the bills for Sunday School material. They pay for other educational things, like not this year, but the year before, there was the seminar things that the Sunday School took care of because that was considered, the Christian Ed Department took care of because that was educational things. And then just, I don't know, that wasn't in this, the breakdown. The Christian Ed Department has a balance at December 31st of $710.44. Of that, the Sunday School has a balance of $427.58. Missionettes have a balance of $134.49, and the Royal Rangers have a balance of $148.37, thus adding up to the $710.44. And our workers in the Sunday School are the beginner class goes 2 to 5 ages. Lori and Christy are the workers, teachers there. Primary class is 6 to 8 ages. Annette and Kelly are their teachers there. Middler, 9 and 10 year olds, Val and Nora. Preteen, 11 to 13, is Jim and Rex. The teen department, 14 and up, is Steve and Craig. And the adults are Bill and Pastor. Thank you to all of you. Any questions? Oh, I didn't figure that average out this year. I did last year, but I forgot to do that this year. I'm sorry.
I did, and I don't remember what it was.
I think it ran in the 70s.
I think so. Okay. Is there a motion to accept the dollars report? Okay, Christy, my second. All in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign. And it's accepted. Thank you, Della. She got a little more responsibility when we went to the Christian Ed Department instead of just the Sunday School. We thank you for the job that she's doing there and willingness to serve. Who would like to be next? Don, you want to give a Royal Ranger update? And then we'll have Val do missionettes.
Well, we've been off to a slow start. We only have the young boys up to, I think it's about 10, 5 boys. And we need more leaders. And even young youth boys, we could use their help too. So we'd appreciate if anybody'd be interested in helping us on Wednesday nights, we could sure use it. And thank you.
Thanks, Don. It's a good program. So if you could muster up some time and help out, I know they would greatly appreciate it. And one thing about teaching boys or girls, you grow in their eyes pretty quickly just by spending some time with them. So do we have a motion to accept the Royal Ranger report? Okay, Steve, second. Clarice, all in favor say aye. Opposed? Okay, Val, you want to come and give the missionette report?
We also got a late start this year with going to classes and stuff, so we've just begun, and I've been taking off more than I've been here. So, anyways, we had a crowning last year, which went over real, real well, and for those who participated and helped out with that, I'd like to thank you. We won't be having one this year, but hopefully next year we'll have a couple more girls. I'm doing missionettes a little bit different this year. I have ages from 4 years old to 12 years old. So if anybody just finds a Wednesday night that, you know, they want to try something different, come and join us. We can use people to cut for the little kids or to help in any way to do a craft or whatever. Also, we're planning a mother-daughter banquet. And I don't want it only to be mothers and daughters. I want it to be women and girls invited also in this. It's May 11th at 10:30 in the morning. It's a free will offering, and we're going to do a little craft, so I ask each family to bring a small jar that has a cork on it or some kind of lid on it. I'm doing missionettes a little bit different this year. Also, we're doing, when the girls earn their memory verses or bring somebody or bring their Bible, or I've been given a money, fake money. And every 2 months, we're going to have a store to buy things with, to use that money. And it encourages them to learn more and to help. So if anybody has anything they want to donate that a girl would like, or something they could even give for a present, you know, they'll buy it with their money, and maybe it'll go for a Mother's Day present or a Father's Day present or something. So if anybody would be willing to help out in that way, that would be great. I think that's about it. Does anybody have any questions?
Thanks, Val. That's why these things are important. I didn't even know about the store. So that's good. All in favor of receiving the missionette report, say aye. Nope. Well, I got ahead of myself. I'm making a motion. Thank you, George and Nora. Okay, all in favor, say aye. Opposed? All right. My brain has gone to the spaghetti noodles. anybody else have a report? I don't want to miss anybody else. Rex, we don't have a men's ministries report again. But last but not least, women's ministries. I'm glad their women's ministries run so smooth. You know, I was at a church where I had to go to the WM elections. They were hostile. I had to go keep peace. I don't have to do that here.
I just beat everybody up beforehand. Blackmail. Okay, we had a busy year last year. First of all, I want to encourage all ladies to attend if you can. We meet either the first or second Tuesday at 7 o'clock at different houses. And it is on the calendar, and I do try to have the meetings announced 2 weeks in advance. Our next meeting is this Tuesday at Sharon's house at 7 o'clock. We have a small business meeting and then a Bible study and then a snack. And when I say snack, it's not usually just a snack. it makes Rex jealous when I get home. Okay, in January, the new officers took over. I was the president. Sharon was the vice president. Our secretary treasurer is a 2-year term, so Jill continued in that. In February, we had the WM Day and also a Valentine's banquet. March, we brought the food for the Easter breakfast. April was really busy. We had the spring cleaning. We had a hot dog stand for our fundraiser. And we had our own second annual Women's Ministries Conference put on, sponsored, supported by our own group, and we had about 40 ladies there. For a church our size, that's incredible. And it was a very moving experience. I think we all grew and had a good time. We did a lot of other things. We hosted a baby shower. In August, we had our annual WM picnic, and that's not just for the ladies of the church, that's for the whole family, and that was at Jill's house, and you can look forward to that again in August this year at Jill's house. we also did the food for the crowning that Belle mentioned. In November, we held the elections. I was again elected president. See what I mean? I did the blackmail. I was again elected president. Debbie was elected vice president. And we did something a little bit different because of some conflicts. Jill and Christy are sharing the secretary treasurer's position. We finished our study book, A Woman After God's Own Heart. And we decided to get a new book, Growing in Prayer. We had our annual Christmas party in December where we revealed our secret sisters and we drew for new ones. We have one Sunday school room downstairs that the ladies have painted, fixed up, and we are shortly, I'm anticipating that the other ones will be finished. I have to say that we appreciate the new stove down there. It sure has made fixing the fellowship dinners a lot easier, a lot nicer, and a lot less smelly. So, and we look forward to our third annual conference in April, on April 26th and 27th of this year. Any questions for me? We have about $1,500. I will say I've had some questions about the conference. The conference is self-supporting. We really don't make anything on it, and we don't have expenses. It basically is very self-supporting.
My question is, how can you be so tough for such a little gal? Do we have a motion to accept the Women's Ministries report? Okay, Kelly, is there a second? Della. All in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, and it's accepted. And now we're going to move back to the old business, if you can remember some of the things that were read in the minutes from last year's meeting. And probably the first and foremost thing that we would like to just open up here for discussion and give a little report on is what the building committee has done. And is there anybody from the building committee that would like to speak for we have done? I know like Bob's done some checking and on some different things. And Bob, you want to share?
I didn't know I was on the committee.
Yeah.
About church, are we going to have it on? Are we going to build? What are we able to do? I want to go back a lot of years and say I never was satisfied with the building to start with, but I was outvoted that we built the church, and it's done a great job. I would like to see us move on to a better location. Better location out on the highway, maybe by the intersection up here, 128 and 12. So I know some people flat hole, two landowners up there, and got a flat hole. I got away to what I'll see. And, but there's three pieces of property that I went up there and looked at. I took the pastor of it and looked at it. I don't have a price, but there are some pieces of property. Not choice. Not really choice, but maybe acceptable. And I don't have anything else. One other thing. The sign over here was made last year because we really needed it, and it has sat down at the sign guy's office. And you pay close attention next Sunday and see if you can't see a difference over there. The council office decided we're going to do that.
Does anybody else from the building committee want to speak? Okay, we'll just open up for questions. You're not real talkative today for some reason, but please ask. I guess, in a nutshell, what we did was we looked for property and have not been able to find any choice property is about it.
Rex? I just throw in a thought there. And this thought of this, the main issue on building another church on this property, actually is two of them, is that location. Everybody likes this. But I'm just thinking, one of the main reasons is we don't do anything with this building. Just fill that great big wall and build right there. I mean, because we're going to spend enough money on a piece of property where we can take that money and build this hole and probably drain it out. I don't know, that was just a lot of hole. We can probably expand on that, yes or not.
No, this is the reason for this meeting is to get input.
This is a good enough location except for not being seen. You know, and if we want to build and spend a lot of money, I'd like to be where we can be seen, because being seen is free advertising. But there's no parking here.
If you build there, there's not enough parking.
Another reason is this building is a commercial building, can be sold as a commercial building, you know, without a lot of change on it, and it's worth considerable money toward the church. If we build out there, this has got to be on something.
Getting this church to meet codes to expand on this building, I don't know, we figured it out once and we talked to an engineer. We'd start out with probably about $40,000 to $45,000 bill just to get this to meet codes too, if we were to add on, which would go a long ways towards building a new church too. But we're right at the minute, it isn't as urgent as it was 12 months ago. 12 months we had more people attending than we do at the minute. So, I mean, I think our biggest thing is we should pray and pray real hard that God opens the door for whatever we do to.
Sharon?
I don't know what Rex was saying, whether it would be a separate building, but there wouldn't have to be any improvements in this building if that building in front of us was a total separate building, and we just used this for like a youth or office building. If we did not connect it, we would not have to improve this building, right? If we connected them, we would have to improve it?
That's correct. You're probably correct.
Is there any possibility that we could buy some land around here just to increase our parking then? Because I think it's going to be a problem trying to sell this building for what we think it's worth in this town, in this location.
There's a few surprises for you when you look at the price of a new church. Built the way new churches are now being built. They've got one in Sheldon. You've been there, it's old.
It's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
That would fit our needs.
And what? $120,000 plus concrete?
Yeah, it was $120,000 plus concrete plus land.
All volunteer.
And all volunteer work. But we've got $170,000, am I correct? Already to start with, so we've got seed money to get the thing going if we can find the location.
Back when we were initiating this, we had a couple of people come that let us do it. Other,
yeah.
We did show the church one time. They had heard it was for sale, or we were interested in selling it or whatever. Showed it to them one time, but I don't think they were willing to spend what they wanted.
Whether it's a new church, old church, whatever, I would like to see one thing. I hate to see people have to drive. I don't care myself. But especially people that's just coming to your church. The first thing that hits a swimming pool out there, pull them up. I think that's a bad reflection for somebody that's trying to see what we have here.
Just about every year we throw more gravel on there.
That's just right now on that snow that's pushed against the fence line is melting across the parking lot.
Every year we put in a few more loads of gravel and try to fill in it, but we've got
the blacktop in if we aren't.
Yeah, I'd hate the blacktop, but and the blacktop is expensive to move because it'd be $20,000. Yeah. But you're right, it isn't very nice. In fact, I was commenting to my wife about it, but I don't know what to do about it. You know, if there's a solution to the problem, you know, I think we'd all work on the problem, but I don't know what the solution is.
Well, I don't know where to go with this conversation except let you talk and let you see if you want to come to any decisions or whatever.
Well, I personally like to see the building committee keep pushing to find a piece of property that was, you know, accessible to the main highways. And if something comes available, I think we as a church should vote on it and, you know, move on to, you know, at that time. Right now, with what are we averaging right now? 90 people?
I'm not sure.
Somewhere in that neighborhood. The urgency isn't there like it was when we were, you know, at 100 plus.
Val?
I have a comment on that. Our church will never be full because the more people you have, they're going to leave because it's so packed. People don't like to be right next to each other. You will never have a full church.
I'm sure that's true.
That could be part of the reason why we didn't.
I think I'd like to add one other thing. We were going to build a parsonage for quite a while. And some people really pushed it. And some people waited and watched. But when the time was right, I feel it was the time was right. We started, we built it, and paid for it while we were doing it. Came out that free. We're in a better financial situation today to build a church. I don't know if Nancy Evans is going to. He's going to do a lot of work, and it'd be better for me to work there.
I guess I think we need to come to some sort of something or other. I mean, we've been sitting at this for quite some time, and it's like, okay, we can't do this because we might sell it. You know, we can't. So, you know, I think if we don't do anything, the church in itself is going to, you know, I don't know what. It's going to be in repair, in a state of repair. I mean, if we don't keep on it because we might do this, we might do that, and if it holds on. I love this building. It's got a lot of heritage and a lot of memories here, and I don't want to move. I would really like to see an addition built out or whatever. To make it more
able to use,
but that's just my feelings.
Sherry?
One reason why I really like the idea of having a separate building out front is that it gives, in this church, in this building right here, it would give the youth the freedom to express their worship and how they want to express it. Right now, we're downstairs, and oh, it's so loud, we can't even hear ourselves talk to the girls. Or we can't, Don can't get, you know, we're hearing everything. And the sad thing is that the adult Bible school, or Sunday Bible, the adult Bible study, thank you, is having to move to the pastor's house because they can't hear. If you had two separate buildings, they would be free to have their worship service the way they want. You know, it would be, yes, a little bit more. You might need to insulate for some classrooms downstairs or not. But no matter if we build a whole new building or not, we still have to come to terms with, you know, the noise and activity level.
Jill?
I have to agree with Debbie to the certain fact that, you know, a lot of us have got a lot of years, even more than evidence of heritage in this building. But I really feel that whatever God moves, you know, I think at this point we're ready to do when He's ready for us to do it.
Okay, Mark.
building committee had pros and cons. We did that, and it was the majority of the decision on the building committee, if not unanimous, to try to relocate. That was of all the pros, and we shared those pros and cons at the picnic last year. Well, if we were to go relocate somewhere, we'd want a few acres. Well, a minimum of a few acres. Few, I don't know how many yet. No, few. A few acres. Yeah, a few.
Is that like 20? And is it like $3,000 an acre now?
I don't know if we really set on it.
We haven't.
You would want enough land to expand.
It would be nice to have enough property to put a ballpark there for the kids to play ball or whatever. But I think we'll take whatever we can find if it's reasonable and we can make it fit our needs. Go ahead.
Just help fly a finger over there. Four fingers of ball.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to see, I guess after we made our report at the Sunday school picnic, we kind of, the building committee kind of really met. And if we're still serious about building, I'd like to see the building committee to meet on a regular basis and get down what, how much property do we feel we need. Tentative type plan if we build up here or if we can find property to get more of those things down.
I don't know if I have really the right to say, but I'm along with my wife on this one. I would like us to make a decision because if we say we're going to look for property, okay, let's look for property, but could we say, I mean, how many years are we going to do that? I mean, we could just say we're going to build and we just keep looking for property. How many years are we going to do that? Well, we're not doing anything here and we're not growing. We desperately need more classroom space. We definitely need bathrooms. I would like a Sunday school class where I could train new members. You know, I don't have that opportunity. I would like to have a class to teach AG doctrine. People don't know AG doctrine. They're coming to our churches. They don't know what we believe. We don't have the room. We don't have the space to do it. So I'm feeling a little bit antsy, to be honest with you. That's a good word for it. So I agree. I would like to make a decision. I can live with it if we decide we're just going to look for land and that's it. But I guess I would like to know.
It isn't that nobody's been doing anything. You know, people have been looking, and there has been contacts made, and then people have been out scouring around looking at areas that are possibly available and calls being made.
That's true. That's true.
If you're looking to that land up there by Russian Richard?
Yeah, they want 65,000 an acre.
10 acres would be $650,000. I mean, or 5 acres would be $325,000. There's a budget.
I think Bob has done a very good job, and other people have. I know Ernie and Della have been involved, and Wall's called people. As far as we know, the prime location where we originally were looking at, there's just nothing for sale there. Craig?
Are you asking us to decide today what we're going to do?
I don't know.
Because I don't know if we can do that because I don't know that we've exhausted our possibilities.
I don't know.
Yeah,
what
I'm asking if that's what you're asking.
I guess I'm not necessarily asking for that, but you know what? A year is going to go by.
Oh, I know.
Another year is going to go by. Right. It's actually been 2 years or three since we first started talking about this. And we'll come back here in a year from now and we're going to probably be at the same. All I want to do is somehow speed up this process of, because our church here also needs upkeep. And we can't do anything because what if we move?
Bob mentioned it.
So I don't know. What's your desire?
Everyone's still in favor of the
government. Well, if you don't have any money in a few months, then you might as well just put it in here.
Should we have the building committee meet again? She wants to know if there's any land available right here for parking. I don't really know. I mean, there's a possibility maybe we could buy some land on this side. And Rex had talked to Glenn, possibly getting some of that land over there. So there might be a possibility. But, you know, we haven't really pursued staying here because it was the consensus of the building committee to look elsewhere. For the most part, I'll say that. I guess that's what we need to decide. You know, we need to talk about that, and that's what we need to decide. You're right. Rex?
You said something about meeting again, the building committee meeting again. I would suggest that meeting again, but I mean, people really did pray and think about this, and any ideas, I mean, anybody bring them, just open it up, you know what I mean? And then just let it go from there.
Who is the building?
Do we have that with us? It was the board.
The board, Bob, George, Jim, myself.
Tim, and I believe Della. I think that might have been it. Yes.
I also want to say one George. Of the cons about staying right here, what I was talking about, is that, you know, like Will said, it'd be nice to have like a ballpark or something. Maybe a church league someday. Men's ministry really get open and motivated, you know. Or playground equipment, you know, we wouldn't have a roof for it if we stayed here, so that would be a con about staying.
But we got to use friends. We used to always play there.
I mean,
when we were teenagers,
it's pretty public too.
Yeah, but we're looking more for the teenagers that would work, but I don't want my little kids going over there.
Yeah, the teachers go. That's fine.
Well, I'm talking more like after church when the parents are talking or fellowshipping or after fellowship dinner. Otherwise, I'll have to send them over to the hands.
I don't think we're really getting anywhere with it. I think we ought to just do a meeting at a later date.
Gail's asking if we should have a building committee meeting or just have a congregational meeting. Or both?
First
the building committee and then another. Sharon?
My suggestion is like last year, why don't we let the building committee reconvene and then let's have a congregational meeting at a park when we have our 4th of July, our July picnic.
Is that a motion? Is that a motion?
My motion.
Okay, the motion is.
If we're going to. Are we looking to build right away? If we want to start this summer, wouldn't we need to reconvene and join the church before the picnic? Because we already want to be starting by then if we're looking to build right away.
There's no possible way to build a church this summer.
Okay.
No possible way that I can see.
Well, we should really motion. We should. First and second before.
Yeah, before we discuss it, right. We have a motion before us to have the building committee meet again and report back to the membership the date of the Sunday school picnic, which is usually the first Sunday in July. Okay, Bev seconds that. Now that's open for discussion before we vote on it.
I think there should be an amendment that they meet once a month. With their ideas, discuss it. Don't hurt them to take a couple hours off and discuss what they come up with. Go on.
Okay, do we have to do all this? To skip all this amendment stuff, if
we could just ask Sharon, would you agree to reword it to have the building committee meet monthly until...
It's starting April, May, and June. So we need 3 months.
Okay.
That's what my amendment would be, because then in July they would... And we, as a congregation, need to pray in this 3 months and say, Lord, help direct us. And the land can come available in 3 months,
sure.
Or it can be totally shut down in 3 months. And this could be opened up. If it all closes, this, you know, having a little extra parking area and the other, then I guess God is saying to hold everything up. But we really need to pray.
Amen.
I'm just wondering would there be any advantage of having a meeting here in the church building instead of at the park? I'm not sure if some of the older members it was more difficult for them to get there, or, you know, we want to include absolutely everybody.
Sure. Yeah, what kind of turnout was there last year? I don't really remember.
It was a good turnout. But even so, I mean, I don't know.
It depends on what you have.
Don't we usually do baptism?
Yeah, you know, that's the good point. And the reason we didn't have the baptismal last year was because we had that meeting afterwards. So maybe it would be better to meet on a different day.
How about the 14th right after church?
14th?
The second weekend in July.
Okay.
Also, can I answer Mark's question a little bit?
Sure.
For this, when we build, I would like to use the Assembly of God maps tools if we could. And, okay, George is retired and I can kind of make my schedule flexible and I know a few other people can. But we'd like to do a volunteer labor. We'd like to do a debt-free so we didn't feel like we were under the gun. That's my opinion. Nobody said that. And I would like to utilize the MAPS team, and it takes a year or two to round up the MAPS teams to come and work. And you know, and I think that would be, you know, a lot smarter than us just going out and doing this gung-ho and getting stuck and then burnt out.
About a quarter of it done.
What?
About a quarter of it done.
Yeah, a quarter of it done, and then there it sits or something like that. And I don't know if everybody's familiar with what a MAPS team is, but the Assemblies of God have a building program where they take retired professionals and they all own motor homes or whatever, and they travel from one location to another, and they'll go build a church or a parsonage or whatever needs built, but you have to be put on that schedule. And I would like to do it that way. And I don't mind working with them and so on and so forth, and I'm sure a lot of the men here don't mind working with them. But we could conceivably save probably $100,000 in labor. And to me, that's well worth it because, you know, that $100,000 could go towards missions in the long run, or it could put us down to a place where we could just be financially strapped like we were back in the past. And I don't want that to happen.
Tim.
If a prayer view coming to church over there and start praying, they went in and did it themselves, and now they're sitting with the quarter down church. They were trying to get volunteer labor to come in and help them. The electrical, you know, they contacted us. The electrical needs 70% of us. And they built a nice big beautiful church, but they went in and got home, and then everybody just got wore out. Which we're tired of doing it.
Don't want that.
Right. We have a little bit of record than that around here.
Yes, and count the cost. I think we can discuss, you know, that later. I think the motion is before us to meet on July 14th. Is that the correct date? After the Sunday morning service. And give a report of the building committee, which is to meet monthly until then. There's a second by Jill. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. And it's carried. All right. Other old business. Rex, you're going to have to help me out. Was there any other old business that came to mind as he was going through that you wanted to discuss? If you want, he can just kind of rehearse what the old business was for us.
That's right.
Okay, Fast Track Missions, we finally got a form this year. Since then, I would like you to know, however, that we have taken on 3 new missionaries, and these missionaries were eligible for Fast Track funds anyway. So we just kind of beat the gun and are supporting them. And we have the new missionaries that we are supporting. Let me see if I can think of their names. Yeah, Wayne and Natalie Sawatsky. Okay, they were here on a Wednesday night. And then we are supporting Carlson's, Gary and Sherry Carlson, missionaries to Africa. And then the latest one that came through, Todd and Heidi LeBute, they came through on a Sunday night. So we picked up 3 new missionaries, plus we increased most of our missionaries from $30 to $50 a month. Craig?
Is there
Rick Nanez?
Just remember his name, but I didn't
mean it. Yeah, he came through afterwards. What we do every year is in the first board meeting of the year in January, we review the mission's budget. And we go through and decide what to do. And we've been increasing them on a consistent basis. We have not raised some missionary support because some of them we haven't heard from. And there's some people on that back wall I've never met. Pastor here 11 years, so we have not increased their support, but we have increased the support of the missionaries that contact us when they come home. Yeah, those are not correct. We do have new pictures, and we have some new pictures that we need to have sent to us. Hopefully we'll have those up and available soon. Okay, Fast Track, what else? Was there anything else that you wanted to bring up from previous year? Okay, then we will move to the new business. And I have some requests that have been made to me, not in the form of resolutions or anything like that, but some things to discuss. It was brought to my attention that certain people would like to change the time of the Sunday evening service back to 7 o'clock. It had been 7 o'clock. We moved it to 6:30. And some would like to move it back to 7. And would you like to have any discussion on that?
What was the purpose of
that? The purpose of what? Purpose of moving it back to 7. I don't know. Would anybody like to speak to that? Why would you like to move it back to 7? Clarice? Clarice,
what? So all the rest of the service would have 7, and I just thought it would be nice to have a light. Plus, it's hard for us to get out of our house at 6:30.
Okay.
It's all your fault. There's
confusion when you got all these things. Down with a couple other organizations. One night's one way, another night's another way. Same way.
I'll speak in favor of 6:30. I know my little children. It's nice to have a little earlier.
Okay.
Especially when we have actors.
Anybody else? We'll probably have to vote on it. So if you want to speak, you can speak up.
I was probably the culprit because we got that changed last time. when you're driving, it sometimes drives more than 5 miles. And that was my reason. We're now gotten older, and it would make a difference from 6:30 or 7 to me because I get up so early in the morning. But I think anybody's got a driver to get in my life.
Okay.
what was just mentioned here, as a little kid's office along, has got to be taken into consideration.
Would you like to vote on it?
How about the other nights?
Wednesday night? What do you mean?
The other nights were seven.
Oh.
The other nights were not able to do the quality.
If we're talking about Wednesday nights, I would like to address that. I'm going to be here at any time, it doesn't matter to me. But I know the teenagers have sports and stuff like that. It's virtually impossible to get down to practice at 6:15, 6:30. They barely make it here by 7, a lot of them are late as it is. If we switch youth group to 6:30, Gail couldn't be here, Panel player couldn't be here, half the youth wouldn't be here. It doesn't matter to me, I'm going to do whatever, I'm here no matter what. But I know that it wouldn't be very productive to change youth groups to 6:30.
I agree that it's nicer to start at 6:30 for young children, and a lot of the people that said they would bring their kids to Missionettes and Royal Rangers, they don't like the late hours. But I do know from personal experience that Don could never get here before 7 o'clock to teach. But he'd more than willing to give it up if somebody else would teach. if somebody else wanted to teach at 6:30, I know that kids that are 4 years old and 5 years old and 6 and 7 and are going to school all day would be much more beneficial to start at 6:30. But Don would get home until. It's hard for us to get out the door at 6:45, 7:20 to get here.
The other thing is, they wouldn't come anyways. If they don't come at 7, they're not going to come at 6:30. You can make excuses for absolutely everything, but if you can't make it at 7, or if you're not coming at 7, you're not going to be here at 6:30 either.
I know that is probably true. And what I'm saying is, Don could never teach if it was at 6:30 on Wednesday nights.
Actually, I think if you want to discuss that, we should discuss that at a different time, because it was only Sunday nights that were brought up now. And I get the feeling from the leaders that they don't want to change it, so I don't even know why we should. But let's go back to Sunday night, and let's just do it this way. Is it okay with everybody to have a hand vote? Okay? If you would like to keep the service at 6:30, keep it at Sunday night service at 6:30, would you raise your hands and we'll just get a count? Okay, Lowell, you want to count that side over there? All right, how many would like to move it to 7? Let's see your hands. You had 9 and 5 is 14. 14 for 6:30, and you had 11. 8-3 is 11. Was that right? Let's do it again. Sorry. 6:30. Raise your hand. 6:30. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 on this side. Oh, she didn't have yours up. 7.
I got 10.
Okay, that's 17. Now how many would like 7? 12. So it stays at 6:30. There's quite a few. Okay. Next matter of business. We've discussed as a board about hiring a church janitor. And
I'd like to know your feelings on that. I know church janitor, I know Della and Ernie have done a fabulous job in the past, just tremendous and very faithful. And quite frankly, I for one don't think it's fair that Della has to go around every year and try to get people to sign up to clean. And I don't know what to do about it, but I don't think that's fair to her. And so we have discussed hiring a church janitor, and we'd like to know what you think about it, how much, if we do, how much you think it would be, we should pay, that kind of thing. Maybe Della could shed some light on about how many hours a week is needed, how many hours a week on an average, or a month or something. Okay, 2 to 3 hours a week to clean the church. Okay, so any discussion on that? Are you for that, against that? Bob?
I'd like to make a motion that we will hire a church janitor. I've never cleaned a thing in all the years I've been here, and I think that's a good idea. I think also we should move up to the board to make the rest of the decisions.
Okay.
So my motion would say hire a janitor and move to the board to make the decisions.
Okay. We got to have a second. Okay. Now we can discuss it. Did you have discussion or?
Yeah, I'm just going to say something.
Go ahead.
We have youth here at the church that want to do something. We always want to go somewhere all the time. Why can't we, everybody, part of the youth, clean the church? You know, if we're going to hire somebody. I mean, I don't mean all the youth. All of them been on one Saturday, but take turns.
Somebody's still got to organize it. Somebody's still got to say, who's going to be here? Who's not going to be here? Somebody's got to keep a calendar. Somebody's got to keep track. Right. Remind somebody. Somebody's got to, if they can't be there, then maybe somebody else is coming. Well, it's our church.
Yeah.
It's our church. And it's not the kids' responsibility to do all their work. It should be every family. This isn't just one person's church. No, but it's not. I mean, I know how my kids are. It wouldn't be that right.
There's a responsibility thing that is correct. Personally, I would like to see if we do hire a janitor, I would like to have a job description rolled out for the janitor, so they understand exactly what we expect from them for the money we're paying. That's my personal opinion. I'm in favor of hiring a janitor, but I'm not in favor of saying, we're hired a janitor, go do the job. I would like a job description that says, this is what we expect from you for the money that we're paying.
Yeah, and there would be some things that would have to be put down, and you'd be required to clean after like a wedding or a funeral or something. There's going to be extra
or
like that.
And then if there is, I think we ought to charge the
right
fee for using the church that week.
Right. So I think Mark had his hand up first.
I guess I'm going to speak a little bit for the youth. I know that, I understand saying you pay us to clean it, but no matter how much money you pay us, I don't think as a whole we want to be responsible in case it's not as clean as you think it should be the following Sunday. And I felt that if we did clean it, and it was up to our, most kids don't have expectations as high as their parents have to clean it on their own. I understand that you're offering this responsibility, but too many people become too picky about what they want it to be like, and then we don't want people to come back to us and say, well, it wasn't clean enough this Sunday, next Sunday make sure you do this and this and this. We don't want that responsibility.
I think you guys misunderstood Bill here, though, because I don't think Bill is meaning hire the youth group. For what he's done, what they have done and some other people have hired Josh when it was their turn to work. They would hire Joshua, And they thought it was a good way for a young person to make money for missions, trips, or whatever. I think that's what Bill was talking about, am I right? Okay. So before we get too wound up on that, Jill?
Well, I think that the fact that we're going to hire somebody to do it, to be the same person all the time, and just like a job, they would do the same thing every week, and that way you don't have one person coming in doing certain things, and you got next week the next person comes in, cleans it like he wants to do it. The idea of hiring somebody is to get the same person to do it all the time and do it well.
Okay, Tim, you had your hand up.
Well, mine was back on the youth. If the adults are too busy to clean, where do you think the youth are? Happy with the parents
or... All right. Nora?
We should be doing it. It's all well and good. And, you know, it's our church. We should be cleaning it. But the fact is, Della's got to go. And when she comes to me, I'm like, oh, cleaning again.
Record shows that we're not going to do it.
Right.
Right, Della?
Right.
Sherry?
I think what the motion was that we have the board decide on what the items are to clean and to hire, and then why don't we put it, just spread it out, that if a youth person does want to be hired, you can put an application in like anyone else.
Okay, Rex?
I think that Andy jumped up. He was wondering how the board can decide what to clean because there's no items on the board.
Yeah, we'd have to enlist help.
Well,
that's
our request.
Job description on the door downstairs.
Question. Okay, we're calling for a question. That means vote. All in favor of the motion that was before us to hire a church janitor and let the board make the financial arrangements? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign? Okay, and it's carried. Yeah, it was. I think you're happy about that. I think Donald's probably happy about that.
When does it start?
Well, what do you guys do?
While we got you here, is anybody interested in being hired as a church janitor? Raise your hand. Okay. See us for an application. How fast can you get that application written, Rex? All right. I believe that is it for... Oh, no, I have one more... I have one more thing for new business, and this was, to be honest, it was my idea. I ran it by the church board, and they said I could go ahead and bring it up this year. We are having more and more men who are willing and very, qualified, there you go, thank you, to serve on the church board. And anyway... I would like to have your input on maybe increasing the size of our board. This year we have 4 people who have agreed to run for the deacon position. All 4 are very qualified, and I personally hate to see any of them not get on. Would enjoy serving with any of them. And since we have so many that are qualified and meet the requirements, what would you think if we added a board member or 2. Now, let me tell you how the board works, okay? Right now, we have 3 deacons, 3 board members. They're Lowell Burton, Rex Maughan, and Don Stauffer. When something is brought to the board, usually by me, sometimes it's brought by other people, those 3 vote on it, okay? When there's an odd number on the board, I have no say other than my input. You know, I don't vote. Pastor Craig doesn't vote. He comes to the board meeting. Those 3 make the decisions. If you add 1 more board member, that makes 4. And if you vote and there's a tie, then the pastor breaks the tie. Okay? So that would be the only time that I have actually a vote myself. So you got 3 board members. You want to go to 4. You have the pastor break the tie. Do you want to go to 5? so there's no ties, or do you want to keep it at three? Okay, that's the choices that you have, and it would not start this year, it would start next year, okay? But, Jim?
Right now the term is 3 years?
Yes, a 3-year term.
So what would happen
at 4 or 5? Probably just keep it at 3, I don't know.
It would be to expire.
Yeah. Probably just keep it the same. Sharon?
Could we, of course we're going to vote on this. Could we have sort of a midterm one where July 14th, when we have that report, we could elect two more or one more board member at that time? And then their terms would only come up, whichever one would probably be a 2-year term and one would be a 3-year term, and it would only come up until... Because I think it's important, if we are building, that the more people that you have involved in it, the better it is.
Okay, let's just take this one step. Let's first find out if we're interested in adding another position or two, okay? You're speaking in favor of adding a position.
Right.
Okay. Would anybody speak in opposition to adding an extra member?
Can I ask a question on that? Without speaking in opposition? Besides just doing it to do it, is there another purpose? I'm just saying, I don't know.
There's a broader representation of
okay.
Church.
All right.
Yes, and some of these men have run a number of times, and I feel that they are qualified, and I'd love to have them serve on the board. And I think that once you do hold a position, you see things differently. You see the church differently. You get involved more. It's more your church. It's more of a personal thing, and I don't know. That's true too. Bob.
This is a scripture, I think it is, in a multitude of counselors that is seen.
See, we've only had three because, you know, back when we first came, you know, three was about all the qualified men we had. But now we have more men that are qualified. And so that just gives them another opportunity.
Is there a recommendation for how many members we should have? I know it's purely up to us, but is there any kind of a follow-up?
That I don't know.
Do you have a decision whether you would prefer to be a tiebreaker or you would prefer to have it be an even number? What would you prefer?
Could I answer that one? I've been on the board for probably 14, 15 years, and I cannot remember ever having a vote, usually with anything, until after it's fully discussed and we all agree upon it. So, I mean, you know, breaking a tie, I don't see it being there, because we sit and we discuss something through. If we disagree on it, before we're done discussing it, we agree on it. You know, so I don't see where there would be a tiebreaker problem ever.
Jim?
As far as other churches in our area with similar size,
no, I don't, but I know that's a good thought, but let's push them aside because every church is different. Some churches might, although they might have more people than us, they don't have enough men who would be willing to take the position or qualify or something like that. So, George?
I guess I would say if it's something you want to go for, let's go for one. If in a year or two you decide you'd like it a bigger board, different.
Okay. Okay.
Every year, this is an option.
All right. Steve?
I know it's been established that you haven't had to be a tiebreaker yet. I mean, we've never had that problem with deacons. But if it did come down to that, where you had four on the board, how are you going to feel having to be a tiebreaker And is that going to cause problems between the feeling between you and maybe another deacon?
Yeah, there's always that possibility. Although, I think most of you know me that I'm not a real controlling person. That's just not my style. But I guess to answer your question, no, I wouldn't mind it because it doesn't give me a voice. It gives me probably, you know, in some cases it gives me the most important voice, but it does give me a voice. Debbie brought up a hypothetical situation to me one time, and she said, let's suppose that there was somebody that wanted to do something in the church, and I knew in confidence that there was something wrong with this person and allowing it to happen, but I'm in confidence I can't tell anybody. Now the board can go ahead and approve them because they don't have the knowledge that I do. And so for that reason, I guess I would like to have a voice. I'll tell you one time, I knew somebody that was not here, but I knew somebody who was leading worship service who was a homosexual. They told me that. They came to me and told me that in confidence. I could not reveal it to anybody, but I went and pled with the pastor. I was going out of the church. I went and pled with the incoming pastor to not put this person in, but because I couldn't tell him why, he went ahead and did it. So there are cases where I may know things that other people don't know, and I think that would help me in those times. Tim?
And where do we come for advice on Sunday evenings? What do we listen to on Sunday?
Yeah.
I come to listen to your advice. So why not? You've got the spiritual leadership for the church. You know which way you want to head. So why not do that instead? You've got a vision of where you want to be.
But I do think the other thing to consider here, and Debbie and I are not planning on moving or anything like that, but you might get a pastor who is more controlling, and then you might not want him to make that. So those are things to consider.
So you're only breaking a tie vote.
Right.
You don't have a vote unless there's a tie.
Correct.
So how controlling could you be until it comes split down the middle?
Well, I'm just trying to present all scenarios for you. Jill?
If you want four, if you want five, we'll do five. Just tell us.
Well, George made a motion to try four. And for a year and see how it goes, right? All right. So Bob seconds that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Same sign? Okay. And my plan was to start it next year. I know Sharon had some other ideas. I'm not in favor of staggering them personally because I have a hard enough time keeping track of the three I have.
Maybe you should have told us that before we voted.
So I guess that's the way it is. I mean, if you want to bring that up at a later time, we can. So now we will move to the election of deacon. As I mentioned, we have four men that are qualified and have been approved by the church board, nominated by the church board, and have agreed to the nomination. And I'm just going to ask them to stand if they would do that. I think you know who they are, but just to be sure. And in alphabetical order here, Brian Ewing, Stephen Lowe, Rex Maud, he is the incumbent, and Bob Shackleton. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated.
Remember how I did all last time? Please.
All right. Does everybody have a ballot?
No.
There are ballots here that need to be distributed. Before you go ahead and vote, I would like to pray. Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that the first ballot will be a nominating ballot unless there's an election for the top two vote getters.
What we have done every year is we basically, when there's so many people running, the top two are voted on again, and the last two are eliminated.
Unless there's an election.
Unless there's an election.
What constitutes an election?
A simple majority.
Oh, yeah, we ought to know how many there are.
So we're just asking to make sure everybody realizes we're not voting on two this year.
Right, we're only voting on one this year. What?
Is there a paper going around?
Yeah, we need to pull the roster too.
How many are on the roster?
Has everybody signed this? Thirty-eight voting members. Yes, we do. Okay, Rex. Yes, we have a motion to. Does everybody understand this motion? I want you to make sure you understand it. Oh, you already seconded it, Laura. Yes, one extra.
Is that one going to be done today?
Yes.
Also?
Next year. No, next year, starting next year.
That was the motion.
That was the motion that was made.
Was it Harry?
Yes.
Well, we didn't vote.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Tim?
Another thing I'd like to bring up maybe later in that discussion that Lowell's on there, I can't. And that's where I'm sitting. As long as Lowell's on there, I can never count.
Yes.
So I'd like that to be brought up.
Okay. Why don't you put that in the minutes? And what we will do is next year, before we vote on the deacon, the extra deacon, we will discuss that. Can family now serve on the board since there's more board members? We have a policy that family cannot serve on the board.
How close?
How close?
Yes.
What is it? I don't even know.
It's brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Brothers. But it's not nephew and uncle.
Immediate family.
No. Yeah, it's immediate family.
And even with Craig, whenever anything's discussed with Craig, I step out. So
yeah.
There's no conflict.
See, Craig technically is not a board member. Okay, I don't know how it came about, but most boards have that policy.
It is in the bylaws.
But thank you, Tim. That's a very good point. Well, I want that discussed before we vote next year, then, on the extra member. Okay. Where are the plates? Okay, before we actually cast the ballot, I would like to have a word of prayer.
I'm sorry. I'm taking a minute. Did we ever vote on the motion that Lowell?
Oh, no, we
need to make the first ballot a nominating ballot.
No, we didn't.
I seconded.
She seconded. I don't know that we ever
you
voted.
You didn't make
on.
It a motion. No.
Okay. Oh. I always want everybody to understand this. top two are really the ones that are nominated. The other two are eliminated. Unless somebody gets the majority of votes cast on the first ballot.
And that means they have to get 20 votes, correct?
Yeah, how many? What did they say, 38?
Absolutely.
They have to have 20. 20 votes is needed for an election. All right? Father, we do thank you for the willingness of all these men to serve. And Lord, we are so thankful that we have men here that are qualified. Lord, as we look around in so many places, men don't even attend churches. And Lord, we thank you for these men who lead their families and desire to lead the church. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them all. And we pray, Lord, that as we cast this vote, that your will would be done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may cast your vote. And then Don and Lowell, if you guys would call them, please. Can I give you a testimony while this is going around? We prayed last week for Samuel. He was going in for a test for cystic fibrosis, and he does not have it, and we rejoice in that. And thank you for your prayers. Anybody else with a testimony? Safe too. Yeah, amen. You had a good time? Would you like to go back there? I always thought I'd like to live in Texas.
Not down there.
I must have been deluded.
Down in the southern part, it's kind of weird too.
Hot too.
Yeah, it's nice to go down there. There's not much for trees or anything down there.
I found out that the devil
has an advantage. He does?
Yeah.
What's that?
Word of God. Remember them. The poor people have to go to Europe.
Make sure you drive on the right side or the left side of the road. Oh, they do.
All right.
We have an election. Congratulations to Rex. You've been re-elected to serve. And again, thank you for the other men. Let's give Rex a...
Thanks, Rex. Welcome,
Do you have a speech, Rex? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
God bless you. You are dismissed.